Same page. So start again from Pei Dal Amud Beis from Tsar Shalom Malchum Nezek.
Right. Tsar Shalom Malchum Nezek.
Mishtalim. Okay, so it's clear. What do we know it's clear? It's clear from the Mishnah, in the case of the Mishnah, that if you have Tsar without Nezek, okay, what would you do?
You pay.
Okay, so the Gemara says it's Peshitta. Well, it's clear from the Mishnah, right? Okay. So now, Halavai was that easy. So Mantana, which means?
What Tana said this.
Okay, good.
Amar Rav Benazai, Rav Benazai said
he.
So it's Rav Benazai.
Good. Desanya. So again, so just to make sure, don't get too confused about the names. You can call them X and Y if you want. But ultimately, Benazai is the one who holds Tsar, Shalob and Malcolm Nezek, Mishtale. Okay? Right. Tsar, Shalob and Malcolm Nezek, you pay. Meaning that they can, the five chiyuvim of Tashlumen after you do a chovel are all independent of each other. Okay, they're discrete. Okay, go on. Now, of course, this presents a serious problem because what's the order in the pasuk? Right. So, what could he possibly mean when he says chabur comes first? It doesn't come first.
Well, I know.
Oh.
Kviya delays ba chabura.
Okay, so Rebbe holds kvia de lespa chavura mashma. So the word kvia implies what?
Like a little burn.
Yeah. Without a.
That's
key. Okay, means okay. Now let's just get our terminology clear. Kvia therefore means what?
Burn.
Okay, but how does it differ than a chavura?
It's pure
pain. Okay, right. So pure pain. Okay, kvia means pure pain. Chavura is.
The damage.
So kvia therefore represents pain. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, mashma, sorry, let's talk about mashma, kasav rachmana. Right, the gluyala, the kvia, the isba chabura in, ilo, lo, meaning what?
If there is a chabura, you do pay. If not, then you don't.
Right, so Rebbe learns a pasuk very simple. Does Rashi add anything to that? I think Rashi basically says the same thing. But basically, what does he hold? He said, look at Rashi. Kviya de lesba chabura mashma. Where are you? Hold on. Which is behind the kamar kviya lechuda namra. You see that? It's like for the wide lines. It's 1, 2, 3 lines out from the wide lines.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so behind the Dekamar... Oh, I didn't understand you. Sorry. Behind the Dekamar... Kviya l'chuda namra t'chila klomar. Kviya sh'namar b'pasach t'chila haynu shomen shehe chayav al kviya greda. What's kviya greda? Which sounds like just simply a tsar, a pain. Okay? Afil b'lo chabura. Right? Yeah. Keep going. Deleka.
Deleka el tsar.
You only have tsar, the kach. So it teaches you, why do you have to have the chabura in the pasuk? To tell you, you're only chayev if there's a chabura. So if you just have a kviya, if you just have a tsar itself, you're not chayev, you need a chabura with it. Okay? And the chabura is obviously analogous to what?
Nezek.
Okay? Keep going.
Namitzar.
And since we also pay for ripui, right? Kevan de mishalim ripui mishum chabura, right? Now there's another subtle movie's making. Since we have to pay for medical costs if there's a chabura, what else do you have to pay for medical costs? What else do you have to pay for if there's a chabura? Tsar. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why does he say that?
Categories as well.
Maybe. But there's something different between Ripoy and Tsar. Obviously.
Ripoy seems like an actual monetary thing.
Okay. Just keep that in mind. Okay, keep going. Okay.
Aval.
Tziporin, Pater. But if it's just something on, like, say, a fingernail, well, there's no wound afterwards, right? You're Pater. The Tsar below Nezek.
Lo mishalim.
We don't pay. Right? D'ilav. D'ilav. Chabura. Then the Torah would never have to say Chabura after Kaviyah. Right? There's no need to say Chabura. Why? Because I'm chayiv if I just touch a nail. So why mention Chabura? Right? Right, so it means Kaviyah without a Chabura. The chayiv, Kol Shekhen Chabura Sheish Ba Nezek. Okay? So ultimately, what is the first sheet to hold? Okay, good. So now go back to the Gemara. What's the other sheet, huh? No, read in Gemara. Ben Azai Amar. I'm sorry. Uben Azai Savar. Mashma. Right, 1 second. So when it says Kviya, what does it mean? The exact opposite. Kviya actually means. No. Just translate the Gemara. Kviya means. There's a Chabura. Kviya always means there's a Chabura with it. That's what Kviya means. It doesn't mean tsar. It means I burnt the guy, and what was produced as a result? A bruise, a wound. Okay. I mean, literally the exact opposite, which is very problematic. So therefore, what did you say? Let's keep going. Right. So what? Which means what?
Always comes.
Right, the kviya de isba chabura. Excuse me, I got lost on my hands here. Kasa rachmana lagluy Allah. The kviya de lesba chabura.
Kviya without a chabura.
Right, meaning why do you have chabura in the end to tell you what about the initial kviya?
It actually doesn't.
What?
It actually doesn't.
It
does not have chabura.
But yet.
Yeah, it still says kviya.
You still have to pay. Right, you still have to pay.
So you would have right. assumed that.
Correct. Correct. So, right, exactly. So, if you learn Kviya, that every time you have a Kviya, you have a Chabura with it, then the problem is, in the Pasuk, as far as, when you read that Pasuk, what are you really reading? Chabura. So twice, it'd be superfluous. So what do you need the second Chabura for? Oh, to tell you that when you look at Kviya, right? Kviya, even if it doesn't have a Chabura, you're a Chayv. What the heck is going on here? What's going on here? Okay, that's one question. What's going on here? Okay? I'm trying to find it yet.
Can I just say something?
Is this an answer or another question?
It's an assumption.
Okay.
Say it.
We'll see. Okay, now why do I want you guys to do that Tosos and Chafaz on the base? Because Tosos adds one point, the point Tosos makes over there, the point I care most about, is that you do see that the Tosos seems to learn that Sar is the paradigm of learning out the other ones. Meaning that, how do I know that I'm Chayiv on Ripoy by itself, I'm Chayiv on Shevis by itself, I'm Chayiv on Boshes by itself, because I'm Chayiv by Tsar by itself. Okay? Keep that in mind. So what do you say? What's this machlokas here?
You wouldn't be Chayiv on Tsar by itself, you wouldn't be Chayiv on anything else?
No. Not necessarily, but they chose one. You could go down Roth's road, which is that, well, if they chose Ripoy, that's the same question there too. You could say that. That's like a question on God. Like, why are pigs treif? Right, well, if cows were treif and pigs were kosher, that's the same question on cows, right?
Right.
So I want to go step by step, just to build this case. Okay. So let's start from the beginning. Okay. So in general, okay, what are we dealing? What's the biggest? We said this last time. Okay. Tsar and Boshes are different than Ripoy and Shevis. Okay. Why? Ripoy and Shevis are. That's true. Okay. But that's more basic than that. Okay, they're effects. Okay, and as being effects, they are quantifiable. But here's a big what? Yeah, but there's a problem though. But Sar doesn't call. Okay, so but Sar and Boshes never cause what to a person?
Physical damage. And
what?
Monetary loss.
That's true. Boshes could.
So I'll make it simple. Let's look at Sar. This as a simple question. Yes. And Tsar and Boshes are experiences. But let me ask this. Does Tsar ever cause a loss in value? If that caused you pain, how did that cause you a loss in value? What?
No.
It doesn't. Okay, good. So we know for sure Tsar.
I can think of some crazy where you make it better or whatever, but that's not.
Normally speaking, yeah. In the normative case, Tsar does not cause a loss in value. Okay? Okay. Yeah. With that said, let's first take a look at the pasuk.
What are we saying? That
nothing yet.
And Boshetar.
They're experiential.
Experience.
Yes. They're experiences. Okay? But we know that Tsar doesn't cause a loss of monetary value. So let's take a look for a second at the machlokas I usually have a go from the general to specific. In this case, I'm going to go from the specific to the general. Let's take a look at the difference between reading the pasuk. And just to boil it down, if I boil it down to the most simple expression, right, factually, so there's two ways you can look at kviya, right? And remember, they're using kviya to express the idea of tsar, right? Okay. What are the two ways they can look at kviya? Either kviya is what? Either it's...
A mom or not a mom.
Better. It's either a... What? No, that's the upshot. I just want to know in and of itself. Okay, right. Either it's with chabura, meaning that it's there's some sort of, let's say, surface wound with a subsequent internal wound, or it's just simply a surface issue.
I'll make something a chabura, even though.
Let's a bruise. I'll leave a mark. If I burn you here, right? There's no evidence. There's no further evidence of that phenomenon. Okay. But if I, that's why tasing is the best example. Tasing is nice, but that's what. But using
feel. Chabura for tasing. I forgot what it's called, but whatever, the nodes, they actually pierce you.
You're thinking about on TV where they... That's a long-distance taser. I'm talking about a handheld taser.
Oh, the like...
Yeah, with the little... Right.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Okay. So let's understand. So what are the two ways they're looking at kviya?
Which one there? They can go truly through clothing.
That's the ones with those nodes, I think.
No, because
let's make Roth happy. In other words, if I want to show you that kviya, right, is going to lead me to know that tsar is its own thing, okay? What do I have to see? What do I see when I see kviya in the Torah? What am I looking at? What is kviya then? The kviya of the Torah, according to that side, is what?
Pure tsar.
What?
Pure tsar.
Okay. Pure tsar, meaning... you're right. What do you mean by that?
You're looking for a...
That's what I'm looking for.
Why?
Okay. In other words, like this. Is this the practical example of tsar? That's one way to look at the pasuk. If it's the practical example of tsar, then what's kviya?
With
chabura. Or is it the what? Come on, I gave it away.
But it's not the practical example of tsar.
Ideal.
Or is it the conceptualized version of tsar? The first step you have to take is what's the difference. You'll see why. I'll show you why. First, you have to understand what the difference is between the two. If you're going to hold tsar. Only when there's nezek, so you're going to learn the case in the Torah to be one. You have to learn kviya to be a practical example, meaning practically speaking, kviya always includes chabura. Therefore, tsar is always tied to nezek. Whereas if you learn the other way, if you're going to somehow show that tsar is unique, that exists in its own discrete realm, you're going to have to look at that kviya and say, what's the kviya showing you? This is the conceptualized version of tsar. It's going to be the conceptual version of tsar, meaning it has not, has no access to it, has no relevance to reality, to practical reality. We're just talking about this, like you said, the idealized form, okay? Idea of a surface wound with no evidence of such, like tasing, with no evidence of a mark, is the idealized form of tsar. That's showing you a case of tsar where there's no effect from it.
But you could have a surface wound.
Okay, now let's look at tsar in relation to nezek or not. Okay? So if you told me that tsar, if I show you in the Torah, there's an example of the idealized form of, or the conceptual form of tsar is the kviya, right? And that means it exists independent versus saying that no, the example of the Torah is kviya always includes a chabura, which means it has to be tied to nezek. So how would you start to find that machlokas then? Or now we're in the general realm. Does tsar require nezek or not? Right? Do you need nezek in order? I mean, what's the easiest step? The one I don't want you to say is a svarab. What's obviously the easiest thing to say?
Does nezek make it into the category of a chovel? And then you need the other four ones, sorry, nezek? Or are they just five parts of a chovel?
Okay, that's good. That's actually good. Why didn't you say that before?
I did, but I told you it wasn't a svarab.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on to that. You said that before?
Yes.
Okay. No. Okay. One second. But we'll get to that in a second. Let's go before that though. Let's understand. We got to get there's a certain process here. Okay. So look. So let's look at tsar for a second. Okay. So if you're going to tell me, if you told me that I'm only chayav to pay tsar if there's nezek, okay, then I'm going to ask you a simple question: is there such a thing as tsar? If you tell me that the only time I'm chayav to pay tsar is if there's nezek with it, right? Is there really such a thing as tsar?
Yeah,
it's just a subset of nezek if you say that it can be. That's
correct. In other words, like this, I'm saying good. In other words, do you say that tsar? This is the next step. Do you say that tsar really is its own abstract, unique phenomenon? Right, and again,
it's only a satzel.
Or right, or you're never paying for tsar. You're always paying for tsar of the nezek. Okay, in other words, the question, the next step you're going to have to take is, how do you look at them? If you take what I just said about the kviya, the next step to take is going to be like this. What are you therefore paying for? Is there such an idea as an independent tsar, right? Like tsar's own thing? Or do you say, no, when if you hold tsar shalom b'makom nezek, you're not chayv to pay. What are you really saying? You're saying that there's no idea of tsar as a phenomenon. It's always a tsar of something else. It's the tsar of nezek. There's no independent, there's no real idea of a tsar. In other words, it's just that once I evaluate the nezek, then what do I look for afterwards?
That there's tsar for the
nezek. Of that nezek, right? So it always ties back to the nezek, meaning it's the tsar of something else. Okay? That's the next step to take. Now, how would I build off of that? What's the next step to take? What's the next step to take after that? What would you say?
What are we looking for here?
I want to know what the main idea is here.
How they disagree?
Right, because how they disagree, what they're ultimately disagreeing on.
Like, why can't we just say whether it's independent or not? Sort of what you're saying right now.
Well, why would you say one over the other? I'm trying to demonstrate two logical possibilities. So I'm saying, but I'm first trying to categorize what tsar could be. Do you say tsar is really, is it its well, own, sure. is it a whole, no, it's more than that. Is it its own, Ellie kind of said it. Is it its own achovel? Right? I mean, I was going to take what Ellie said at the end game, just put it at this point. Is tsar really an independent expression of achovel itself? Yeah. Meaning, when you do a chovel, I know, I agree, but when you do a chovel, what does a chovel mean? A chovel means I did a maisa nezek, or I did a maisa tsar, or I did a maisa ripoy, meaning each one of those is an expression of a chovel. Or do you say no? What would you say otherwise? Let's see if you can get that point. What's the other way of learning?
Mm-hmm. The nezek defines a.
But better than that. So what do you require?
Some sort of demonstration that makes it into a chovel.
What's the most difficult thing that's challenging the Torah at this point, but insofar as what a chovel is? Why is tsar so challenging? More than that, who cares? What is tsar? And boshes to some extent too. It's not just that there's no loss in value. I mean, Shimon was trying to say this before, but what is it about? What is tsar? Tsar is what?
Subjective.
More than that. It's more than subjective. Okay, now we're talking. It's abstract, right? It's an abstract thing. So now, if the question is like this. The question is the Torah going to come along and create a separate category of a chovel based on something that's abstract? Okay, according to the side that holds, tsar, you never pay for tsar without nezek, it's going to say it's very simple. Of course not. Tsar can never exist on its own. Because what is tsar? Tsar is an abstract concept, right? It could be a byproduct of a maisa nezek. Nezek can produce certain things, but you can't say there's its own independent, the Lord of you is independent tort. You can't say there's an independent phenomenon called tsar. But if you say it is independent, why? Why is it independent? And how does that work? What? How the heck do you measure tsar? Okay? Now, of course, Roth's going to say, what do you mean? Look at the Mishnah. Right? Well, the Mishnah says, what you would say is like, the Mishnah says, how do you do it? You ask the guy. Well, okay.
Hey, guy, I like him.
Right. Well, okay. So, Gabriel, read the Gemara. Om din kama adam kiyo tibazer rota lito. Okay? You ask a man like him, how much would he take to do what? To have his arm chopped off. So how are you going to measure tsar? At this point, I would bring in, I'm going to use Alex's average Joe, not that you're average, okay? I chop off Gabriel's arm. I bring Alex in the basin and I say, hey, Alex, you're the average guy. How much would you be willing to take to have your arm chopped off?
Are you saying Gabriel's the average guy then?
No, Gabriel's the person who got lost his arm.
You don't say that. Because they're both, and so that means they have to be alike.
Why can't we, well, we can never ask Gabriel why.
No, because
then
you can buy it. What? Gabriel will say $1 million.
Right, because Gabriel's going to say absurd. He's going to say a gazillion. Okay. You have to pick average guy. Average man.
So Gabriel's this really, really rich hacker.
Average guy. We don't care what he's worth. Average guy. Read the Gemara.
Actually, Gabriel's a Rashi.
What? What Rashi?
You trying to call my roommate a what?
You mean where he says the guy, if the guy's a wimpy guy or not? Yeah, hold on. You're gonna see about that. Yeah. What is he doing?
I just said Gabriel's a Robbie T guy, so you could think objectively.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. Because he says, Lefi mashehu meunag rav tsaro k'evo, right? That's like normal, though. Average person. You'll see. Gabriel, read.
Tsar makom nezek, heche
shayminan. Which means?
How do you measure?
Right. So tsar, right, which again we're holding that tsar is independent and discrete, right? How do you evaluate this amount? Hechi shaminan. How the heck do you come up with this number? How do you get this number? Any number. So Amar.
Amar avuha deshuah. Umdim kama adam rotze litol litkoa lo
yada. Okay. So Gemara at first offers what seems like. Well, okay, let me just translate what that means, and you tell me if this is compelling. The question is like this. You ask a guy, how much is it worth it for you, right, to lose your arm? Now, when we say lose your arm, in what framework are we talking about?
Tsar,
meaning how much is it worth it for you? What?
Oh, the pain.
Yeah, except, right, okay, right. Again, all it says, kama adam rotza lito liktoa lo yada, which literally means how much is the person willing to take to lose his arm? But the Gemara is going to ask. But you can't ask a guy how much he's willing to take to lose his arm, because what are you not isolating?
Tsar.
Tsar. And what's he going to say? The hakulu chamisha dvar mika. Right?
Yeah.
So when you ask a guy about that question, right, what's it? What you can't just isolate.
Yeah, he's going to take into account all factors.
Exactly. Right? And just when you thought the Gemara can get more humorous, what does the Gemara then say? Beshuf tefani askinan? What's shuf tefani?
Like partners?
No, good. That's good you thought that way, but no. You know what shuf tefani is? What? No.
Summer dingus. Cucumbers.
No. What? Is there Rashi in this? Is there Rashi, right? It's not that. No, there's no Rashi.
What?
Yeah. Shuf tefani means this. Shutifani basically said means it's another word for shota. Okay, meaning are we stupid?
Oh, hey, you're right.
What? Meaning how are we
wait,
dumb?
Is
Shutifani askinan? Meaning are we really saying that? I mean, are we stupid that we'd actually consider the case where
I have a lot of questions of this.
You chop a guy's arm up. Rather what? Liktoa yado hakitua. Okay, now what does that mean?
They actually chopping off.
Yeah, look at Rashi. Yado k'tua. You're close. Smusin. Okay, so here's the case. I asked Alex. Remember, Alex, you're the sample guy. Okay? Mm-hmm. Alex comes. I said, Alex, get into Beis Din right now. He said, okay, fine. So, Alex, here's the situation. Okay? I just took an axe, and I chopped off your arm, but except for one remaining tendon. Okay, you ever see like in
grow back?
No. Ah, it's a case like this. I take an axe and I chop it all the way through your arm, but to the point where your arm. Oh, but I'd actually do that because then you can say the pain of chopping off the arm. But let's assume you're walking around and your arm, right, is dangling off for whatever reason why, right? Except for one tendon. So all I have left to do is to do what?
Chop up.
Just cut the tendon.
Okay. So, assuming, of course, there's nerve endings involved. Meaning, what's the Gemara trying to say?
All the pain of the arm cutting off without losing an arm.
Bingo. It couldn't put any better. All the pain of having your arm cut off without.
It's not pain, it's just one.
Because
pain.
The arm, as far as you're concerned, is. It's off. I mean, it's a non-functional arm, right? The only thing left that you have with that arm is pain. Right?
Right to the point.
That's the question. Okay. Would it be fun? Okay. No. But let's say the case was that Alex contracted a unique disease called fall armitis, and he's at the last stage. Right. Exactly. You're at the last stage of the disease where it's hanging on my tendon. So I come along. You're going to feel the pain of chopping off your arm, except that your arm's already off as your concern. So then you can say you can isolate Tsar.
There's no boss there. It's big.
Oh! Whoa! Gabriel, read. No! So Gemara says, we'll say, Yado K'tua Nami. L'chude Ika. But if your arm's hanging off by tendon, you can't say it's only Tsar, because what do you still have? Hot Tsar.
Ooh,
Boshes.
No,
that's as long as my arm is still attached, I'm not subject to Boshes. How? I don't care for now.
The wrong one
what? I know, exactly. You should have said Bibur Shemes.
Yeah.
That's what I was yelling at you. You picked the wrong one.
Yeah.
Okay, so that can't be the case either. It can't even be a case where...
I've already lost the use of my arm, so that's maybe...
Right, so let's see if you guys are innovative. Right, so let's see how innovative you guys are. Let's see if you can, just factually, if you can figure out the next case. So the Gemara is saying right now, it can't be a case where the arm is actually dangling. Because in that case, if I chopped it off, there'd be two things I'm chayvin.
You're alone, your arm is dangling.
No, because boshes doesn't have to do with whether you're exposed to other people or not.
Someone in the same social class.
No. You'll never figure this out. But
he doesn't have his arm.
No, hold on. So, Hatsar Uvoshes Ika. No, so what's the case then? The Ksifa Le Milsa. They're still Boshes, right? The Mishkal Uvsar Le Mishaje Kalavim. Why? Because what can happen? Because this is... Atoli asks, where's the Boshes there? I'll tell you where the Boshes is. The Gemara says, because what can happen at the end of the day? Come on. Le Mishkal Mibisaro Le Mishaje Le Kalavim. What's going to happen? If I can pluck off your arm and feed it to, and there'll be a boshes there. I don't care why it's boshes. Okay?
I can.
Your
but
arm is
so
still...
So I won't. So say, okay.
Fine. Who cares if you will or won't? Here's the thing. Ella. Now listen to this.
Ella. Umdin kama adam rotze litol litol yada.
Okay. So now see, so the Gemara says, you got to just appreciate the Bakiyas methodology.
You have a bias towards the Gemara.
I do. So the Gemara, I think you have a. I mean, the Gemara is saying right now that what do you call it? It's going back down, saying, you know what? Forget this approach of your arm still attached or dangling. What's the case then? That's going to work. The case is hamuchtav lemalchus. Okay, what does that mean? Anyone take a shot at this? Hamuchtav lemalchus. I don't think Rashi says anything there.
Whip it up. It's
nope.
Your
Nope. Muchta the Malchus.
You write for the...
Okay, Malchus means king, right? Okay, no, Muchta doesn't mean right here, but that's good. It's good to call that. No, the case is like this. Case
oh,
of this.
Like, was that so, Malchus
what?
Said that no, your no. hand's going
to
chop?
Ah, very good. Say it.
So you're already sentenced to...
Your arm has been sentenced to... Chopping. To offing, right?
Absolutely.
To being chopped off.
Off chopping.
Oh. So now I bring, now again, remember, we're dealing with the average guy here. I bring Alex in. Alex, listen, your arm has just been condemned to arm death, okay?
Right.
Which means it's going to get chopped off. So, what have we now accomplished? Let's just get just the mechanics here. That's as if it's...
It's already been chopped off.
Okay, good.
Now
it's condemned to death.
Wants to be asleep during it, or...
So now the question is, what do you offer the guy, right? Bein Sam L'Sayef. What is Rashi? Bein Sam L'Sayef? Klal, right? Kama rotza litzol, the kotzitz of a sayef. It's like this. When I chop off your arm, normally speaking, the king's benevolent, okay? When we normally chop off your arm, what are we going to give you beforehand?
Anesthetic.
Sam here doesn't really mean, but for us it means anesthetic. So, the question is then, how much is it worth it for you to not take the anesthetic and feel the blade chopping through your arm that's already been designated for death?
I was thinking this the whole time.
Baruch Hashem.
I wonder if the Gemara is going to have an anesthetic that could, like...
Hold on. All right, so, good.
Today, that would be
true. I'm not taking anesthetic.
Say, yeah, how much is it worth for you to not take the anesthetic, okay? But now the Gemara is going to say, one second, Amri Hachanami.
Amri Hachanami, Lo Shakil Mitzayer.
But here's the problem. The problem is that what amount of money is a person going to take, right, to not have the anesthetic?
Whatever amount you could ask.
A gazillion. So we're still back to the same point of what's it's an unrealistic number. But we're not ready to abandon the case of Bechta the Machos. Because we have to come up with a realistic number. So if I ask Alex right now, Alex,
if everyone
how...
says an unrealistic number, then that is a realistic number.
No.
No, but if it really happened, if you really do it, then a person...
If everything's a miracle, everything's a miracle. Okay, go on. I'll go on, Gabrielle. So what's the Gemara then say? Ella Omdin.
Ella Omdin, comma, Adam, Rotze,
Litain. Litain, Liktoal, Yado, Lo Yado. Okay? Hamucht of the Machos, Bein Saif, Lissam. Not how much are you willing to pay, but really how much you're willing to... No, excuse me. Not how much you're willing to take, but how much you're willing to pay. So the example's like this. You come to my office, right, and it's time to get a root canal done. So what I ask you is that it's a really practical thing.
You
so
must have it.
What? So one way to look at it is that I could ask you, how much is it worth it for you to not have the anesthetic? Or how much are you willing to pay
for the anesthetic?
Whereas, let's say I told you your arm's getting chopped off, okay? Yeah. So the question is, if your arm's destined to get chopped off, you can't ask the guy how much is it worth it for you not to have the anesthetic. Question is, how much is it worth it for you to pay for the anesthetic?
That's not how we do it, though. We always do it. How much do you want to get...
Hot...
Mukhtar Gamacha has been sat for some. That's just high lethal. One second, but the problem is the Mishnah says how much is a person's willing to take. Right. The Mishnah doesn't say lethal me buy away. It doesn't say letain. That is a bad, this is a kind of surface of weak answer. So Gemara says what? Amravuna.
Amravuna, Bure, Yeshua, lethal zemizeh, mashanasanzeh.
Okay, literally, what does that mean? He takes from him, meaning in this case, the Nizak takes from the Mazik, okay? Mash and Nasan Zeh, okay? Rashi. Litzol min ha-Mazik. Right, to take from the Mazik what the other guy gave to the Melech. So, there's again, right, that's not good, right? I agree with you. It's a weak answer. But it's saying, when the Mishnah says lethal, it does mean lethal, it just doesn't mean lethal to the person you're talking about. Ultimately, we're asking how much Alex is willing to pay to give me, so to speak, to avoid the pain of getting his arm chopped off. And then we convert that to what the Nizak would give. It's what he would give to the Mazik. All right. I don't care about that so much. I mean, we have to answer that. But you have a lot of Havi and Muskana.
That's
a defined error.
That's my question, no?
It does, but I'm saying it's a weak answer on the surface. So here's what we have to define is, the Gemara takes us down through a lot of stages here, okay? For some unknown reason, right? Yeah. It wants to try to figure out, I mean, why not cut to the chase, right? The key point to focus on is, the Gemara first wants to say, ask the guy how much it's worth to lose your arm. That's absurd. How much is worth losing your arm that's dangling off? That also doesn't work because you have Tsar and Boshes. Then you go to the case of Mukhtar L'Machus. Then the Gemara says Mukhtar L'Machus won't work because a guy's going to come up with an unreasonable number. And then the Gemara concludes, it's how much you'd be willing to pay to avoid Tsar. Right. If you walk away with one thing other than your question, what's obviously the one point the Gemara is telling you for sure without question? When it comes to measuring Tsar, what can't you do? You can never ask someone to evaluate how much pain they're willing to go through. It's an impossibility. All you could ever find out is how much a person is willing to. Now, and I'll prove it to you. I'd say this. I mean, I didn't do this as a.